that we can welcome to our pulpit our brother Sammy Johnson from Tullyvallen. As I said, he's coming to give a word of personal testimony, so we'll ask him now to come, please.
Suppose he's wise down here. You don't think. Maybe he wouldn't think the Lord could save somebody up in the mountains, would you? The Lord can save people in the mountains or in the valley. But if you have your Bibles with you, I want to read a few verses. Psalm 30. And while you're finding the place, I counted just a privilege to be here this evening and just to share with you what God has done for me in my life and my family. And I just stand here by the grace of God. You know, if I had my own way, I'd be sitting in Newton Hampton tonight in Tullyvallen with no friends. Whenever I was asked to give a word of testimony, I made a vow to the Lord that I would speak a word for him whenever I would be asked. So I hope and trust that you'll bear with me. I'm not an educated man, as I'm sure you all know by now, but however, we'll read a few verses here from Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. In other words, that I should not go down to hell. Well, friends, at the very outset, I just want to mention those few words in verse 3. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Can I say this evening, friends, at the very outset, that God, in his love and in his mercy, has kept each and every one here tonight alive, that they should not go down to hell, let you be saved or let you not. There was a time when you weren't saved that God could have cut you off in your sin, but he has kept you alive. Now this evening, someone or some might be in the meeting tonight that's not saved. God has still kept you alive, but you should not go down to hell. That's all I'm going to say tonight. I just want to let you think upon those words while you work, and even when you wake up asleep, I say the Lord has kept me alive, and I should not go down to hell. Well, friends, I was born up there in Newton Hamilton, the townland of Tullyvallen. I was there about 3.5 miles or thereabouts from the South Armagh border. And it was there that I was born into a home of 3 girls and 4 girls. and three boys and myself, and I was almost the youngest. But however, time went on, and you know, when you're born into a home, no matter where you're born, you see the Bible says that we are all born in sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. And friends, this evening, if you're ever going to be in heaven, the Bible says that you must be born again. You must come God's way. There's no other way to heaven, only God's way. Well, as time went on, I sent along to church and Sunday school and, day school. And, the day school hadn't much of a bearing on me because I didn't learn very much when I was at school. But however, it's gone and it's passed now, and there's nothing I can do about it. But you cut a long story short, at the age of 14 or 15, it was a done thing in the church that I belonged to that I would take communion. Well, taking communion at that age would have been good in the eyes of the family and good in the eyes of the church. So I was sent along to meetings that were held on a Friday night, and I used to learn some verses of Scripture. And I learned some verses of Scripture, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you know, I learned all the little verses. But then it come round to the time that they took me in, and I had to say these verses of Scripture. So I said them, and along with the other boys and the girls of my age, we were brought along to church that morning, and there we entered the door and we signed our token card at the door, and we took our seat and we took communion along with the rest of the church. But you know, friends, I wasn't saved, you know, and I shouldn't have been taking communion, because the Bible says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto his own soul." But you know, friends, to be truthful, that didn't really bother me, because it is, suppose you could say, the done thing, and now you're a community member in the church that I belong to. Well, as time went on, I come to the age of 16 or thereabouts, I got myself a job, and when a young fella or a young girl gets himself a job, I got myself a job making cabinets, and there I was an experienced cabinet maker. But having said that, if he's wanted cabinet made, don't be coming to me now, because I have lost my touch. But I got myself a job there, and I earned a few pounds. And you know, like many another young man or young girl, when you earn yourself a few pounds and you save it up, and the next thing you buy yourself a car. And then you go out into this world, as it were, to enjoy yourself. Well, you know, I went out into this world to enjoy myself along with the rest of the boys and the rest of the girls that we ran about with. But you know, friends, the Bible says that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. They only last for a little while. You know, they may last just few years. They might last a little longer. They might last till you're older, when you're not fit to enjoy the things of this world. You know, the devil has always laid a trap for those who want into the world. He makes the lights get brighter, and he makes sin get more attractive. So I'm not going to stand here tonight and get into any of the details what I did when I was running about, because I don't intend to give the devil any bit of the glory. I'm here tonight to give God every bit of the glory. It's God himself that needs the glory. So I went around into the things of the world, as it were, and I started to, well, I joined these specials, and then I joined UDR. Well, it wasn't a matter of joining the UDR. Well, as most of you know, we put off these specials and the UDR just took over. Well, I kept going on into the things of this world, and as I said, enjoying those things. But however, time went on and things didn't seem to be getting much brighter, and I got to be that I hadn't much time for God or the things of God. You know, church seemed to disappear, and just occasionally there I would go and take communion. Maybe that's like someone in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're not interested much in going to church, but you make your point and come to a special service. Whatever, time went on, and well, I was knocking around the boys and the girls, and we went to a dance one night, and I'm sure that most of you know all what a dance was, unless some of you were saved when you're young, thank God for mothers and fathers. I brought you up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and those young people and young girls that are saved tonight, thank God that you didn't taste this old one. But I went to a dance this night, and I was dancing around, and well, you know, with this girl, like many another young fella, you have your eye on somebody that you maybe take her home that night. And well, I spied this wee girl sitting in the corner while I was dancing around. And you know, after the dance was over, I made my way brave and quick round to see if there's a big if there now, to see if she would come up for the next dance. But when I got round, lo and behold, I asked her for the dance, and she jumped up and put her arms around me, and she come out for the dance, and that wee woman happens to be my wife here tonight. So I'm not going to tell you how long we went together. We went a fair wee while, but that's another subject. But as time went on, we kept going on into the things of the world and played a part, as it were, in the things of this world. And I remember it quite well, going across the border many a times to the dances, and my gun would be lying in the back of the car, and I never thought of much. I never thought of anything, really. I was one that didn't care much about man or God or anything else. But however, I remembered one night the two of us headed off into Newton Hamilton on one Saturday night, and while we dove into the town on the square in Newton Hamilton, there was these people. Well, they were singing and they were preaching. Well, you know, to me, I thought, to be truthful with you, I thought that head wasn't right. You know, I thought there was a screw loose up here. You know what I mean? But I hadn't much time with this. So I would have shown the light of the car in her face. But you know, friends, those dear souls were praying for me. They were faith mission pilgrims. They were praying that God would save us. Oh, I didn't know that, but I knew it later on in life. But you know, as I stand here, I'm sorry for that now, for what I did. Well, as time went on, you know, when you go with a girl, a wee while you start to get a wee bit deeper and deeper. Well, what would you say? Love, is it love? Aye. Well, we went on ahead and keeping out of the things of the world and kept going on ahead. And one night, sitting in the car, after I came home from a dance, I said to her, Joyce, what do you think? Will we get married? You know, the way I wasn't even engaged there, you know. And she said to Will, surely. So I says, know what I want you to do? I want you to go along to your mother and your father. I want you to tell them that we're thinking about getting married. Oh, she says, no, I will not. She says, that's your job. So then, that brought me down to size. I says, right, if I'm going to have to marry this girl, I'm going to have to, more or less, you could say, get on my knees to her mother and father. But I waited the opportunity and waited my chance that they were in good form this night. So I said to them, says I, well, thinking of getting married. Oh, that's all right. They decided and said that was grand. They were glad, you know, to have a son-in-law like me, you know, coming in. But the date was set anyhow, and we got married. Well, I bought a wee farm, and Joyce, she kept on at her work. It's Joyce to call my wife. She kept on at her work. And while I was building up the farm, that time, you know, there was, as farmers would know, there was grants on, you know. And you're looking every part to see what side you can get a grant for, you know. But there's a grant come out to build a silo. So I got a few boys gathered around me, and we decided on the place and all where we'd build this silo. But you know, Joyce and myself worked very hard. We were working very hard up to this. But you know, we were working, suppose you could say, too hard, because we hadn't much time even for God or the things of God. But however, it says, what shall it profit man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can I remind you, friends, this evening that you have a soul that will last for eternity? And if you go to hell, it'll be in eternity. And if you go to heaven, it'll be in eternity. There'll be no escape. Well, I was the man that had to do the paying for the boys, and I started to make up the cement and they done the building. And while I was building at this silo, just like many another young man, we used to take them in. The wife was working, I used to take them in and used to make them some tea in the house. And you know, like a whole lot of other young fellas, none of us were saved. And you know, all the talk where they were the night before and what they did the night before, and God wasn't glorified in it. And you know, all ungodly young lads. But however, then we come out to our work, and let us say, 21st of June 1973, we were walking away at the silo, and it was a lovely summer's day. The sun was splitting the trees. I was in my shirt and trousers walking away, and this car drove up into the yard. And like many another young man or farmer around the countryside, he thought maybe there's someone coming to take an order for something or look some money for something. And I made my way over to this car, and while I got over to the car from here to these girls here, the doors opened and out jumped the gunmen. It was then that I was standing face to face with death. No God in my life, heading for hell itself. I don't know why I did it, but I turned my back upon those men, and I started to walk away across the yard. When I got a few yards across, someone shouted at me to halt, and then I fired a burst of shots around my feet. I don't know whether I missed me or what, but they went around my feet and none of them hit me. Then I decided that I would run, so I started to run, and I turned a right hand turn up an entry, and while I was turning up that entry, I was shot in the hand and in the thigh and in the stomach. All I could remember was my knees buckled and my trousers were starting to fill with blood. That's really all I remembered. I don't know how I got over a 3-foot-6 wall. I ran 2 feet lengths and I got into a shock, and I lay there in the shock, and I must have come around a wee while, and I remember saying these words, "Lord, will you spare my life and not leave Joyce on her own as my wife?" You see, friends, I, no fault to Joyce, I was thinking of the world. I wasn't thinking of the soul. You see, my soul was the first thing that I should have thought of. But you know, when it comes to that time, you don't have much time to think of your soul. Wherever I looked up and I could see the boys, my workmate, coming running down the field toward me, but they didn't know I was lying there, and the gunmen were up on the top of a tank, and they were firing down the field at the boys. And well, they seen where I was lying, and they shouted at a man making hay across the road to come with his car. So they got me into the car. But you know, friends, somewhere along that yard, the Lord was in the shadow. The Lord still had his hand upon me. He still loved me. He didn't want me to go to hell. So they got me into a hospital in Armagh. That hospital was going at that time, and they started to pump some blood into me, and they took me on ahead to Craigavon Hospital, and they told me afterwards that the woman that was working with me in Armagh, she told me that I'd just 3 minutes to live. 3 minutes to make my way, friends, down into hell. Friends, can I stop for a moment and ask you a simple, plain question? If the Lord was to take the breath from your body right now, where would your soul be? Would it be in heaven? Or would it be in hell? You can answer that yourself. And the Bible says, beware, lest you're taken away with a stroke. Well, they got me into that hospital in Craigavon. I don't remember very much down there, but all the thing I remember is waking up every time in deep agony and deep pain. And Joyce had been there probably most of the time with me. I don't even recall it. Don't even remember it. Remember many times waking up in pain and not even seeing that she was there. But you know, friends, I want to say this evening, I suffered a lot of pain. But you know, I suffered nothing compared with the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffered on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross voluntarily. He suffered and he bled and died. And he cried, "It is finished." You know, friends, I suffered nothing like that. Just for you and for me. That we might repent from our sin and turn to Christ for salvation. Well, as time went on, I lay there in pain and I went through 3 operations. And I can remember opening my eyes and calling for more morphine every time I opened my eyes. But you know, friends, as time went on, I can remember the doctors and the nurses standing at the bottom of my bed. And can I say this? This evening, I don't know if there's any doctors or any nurses here this evening, but I want to thank God for the doctors and for the nurses. Stood at the bottom of my bed and they didn't know what they were going to do with this young man. And I was a young man, make no mistake about it, I was only a young lad. But however, they decided that they put me through another operation and I wasn't fit for this. But I remember this day lying in agony and pain, and this wee nurse, I don't know if she's a wee nurse or if she's a wee one of them wee, no, one of them wee girls, I hardly know what to call her. She was running around, you know, and she was giving you this and giving you that, and she says to me, she came in this day and she says to me, she says, "Tommy, there's a man out here and he wants to see you." Oh, I trembled. I thought it was someone was going to finish me off. She said, he's a Bible in his hand. And your friends, to be honest, I didn't know what was the worst. Was the man with the Bible or the man with the gun? So I gave my shoulders a bit of a shake in the bed and I says, "Actually, you might as well. You might as well stand a morning." But from what I gather, that man must have been in before. I never saw him, but he must have been in before. And that man was a brown evangelist. The name of Mr. Thompson is he's gone to be with the Lord now. But I remember him coming in and I remember him asking me a few problems that I told him. I had no operation to go through and had this operation to go through and I wasn't fit and all this. And he opened his Bible and he started to read with me. He says, "Do you mind if I read with you?" So, you know, I'm sure I just said, see, you were going ahead, like. But he started to read, and he started to read in John chapter 3, and he read down long, and I never heard a word. I never heard a thing. But then, you know, he read on, and he come to verse 16. And he reads this: "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And there's a verse of scripture I want to read to you here, and it applies in the meeting tonight. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you see, friends, if you're not saved in the meeting, you're condemned. So he says to me, "I'll pray with you." Well, he got down on his knee and he started to pray. Well, whatever he prayed, I don't know what he prayed, but whatever he prayed, that was it. And he got up and he said to me, he says, "Somebody," he says, "see, the Lord can save you, and the Lord can heal you, if you don't let him." And you know, it's this phrase that stuck in my mind: "If you don't let him." He says, "I'll leave it with you." And he put out his hand and he shook hands with me. And just there in the bed, I pondered over these: "If you don't let him," in pain and in agony. But all I said was, "Lord, will you save me?" I knew nothing more. So what else did I need to know? Because the Bible says, "Him that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's all I needed to know. And that's all the Lord wanted to hear. And he says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Well, Joyce came in that evening to see me, and I said to her, "Sister Joyce, I've got saved." "You what?" "I've got saved." She says, "I'm glad." You know, she said she was glad, coming from someone that wasn't saved. It was not amazing. So we also went home, and there in an old pig house with a Bible on her knee, she asked the Lord into her heart to save her. That gave us, you know, household salvation. We had no family. But you know, friends, I wasn't very long till I was home after that. The Lord done a healing work, done a good work. But when I got home, you know, I got home in fear and trembling. As I'm sure a lot of you here would all know, I got home in fear and trembling. But I was reading through the Bible and I come across this verse. It's Joshua 1 and it's verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And I really proved that verse of scripture to my heart. And I used to have to go to Craigavon for a check-up, and Joyce used to drive me. And I remember this day saying to her, "I go across the yard for a bit of a stroll while you're getting ready." And while I was going across the yard, the gunmen on the main road, as it were, I'm just off the main road a wee bit, they opened fire again on the house. You know, it didn't hit me. put a few bullets around the sheds and things, but it didn't hit me. But, you know, that knocked me back a wee bit. But I still held on to what God had told me. Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid. And we are still there today. God has blessed us with 3 boys and 3 girls. We have saw them saved. We saw 4 of them married to their saved spouses. A young lad getting married in a year in September coming. He's my saved wee girl. And all I can say this evening is that God has been good to us as a family. I have another young lad and he's saved. And if there's any young girls here tonight, he's on the loose. He's on the loose here. If there's any young girls here, perhaps you just give him a wee tingle. Well, as time went on, that is it in a nutshell. And the Lord has watched over us and he's kept us. And we used to go to a Baptist church in Armagh. And we saw the boys and the girls all baptized. And we were in Tullyvon up beside us now. And having said that, friends, I'm finished here. And having said that, I just want to re-echo the words once again. If you're not saved tonight, if the Spirit of God has spoke to you tonight, and you know you'll not be saved unless the Spirit of God takes a dealing with you. But if the Spirit of God deals with you tonight, I trust this evening that you'll seek God for salvation. Because friends, it doesn't really matter what you have in this life. It's where you go in eternity. And there's a wee verse here, you know, times I sometimes get under the weather, I sure we all do. And it's a wee verse that keeps me on trusting. But as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. I trust this evening that these few stumbling words of mine will be a help of pricking your conscience and making you seek out God's salvation for his name's sake. Amen.
We thank Brother Sammy very much for those words of testimony. We trust the Lord will have spoken to your heart through something that has been said. We're going to sing hymn number 230. 230. It's a great lesson in this hymn. Life at best is very brief. Sammy was saved by the grace of God, and I was saved by the grace of God 20 years ago tonight. 20 years ago. Life at best is very brief. I see we have with us our brother, the Reverend Kevin MacLeod, and we'll ask him to come now after and close the meeting in a word of prayer. But we'll stand to sing 230. We'll sing this hymn together.
Thank you. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for the triumph of sovereign grace in the life, O God, of which we have heard this evening. We thank Thee for God's grace, for God's power. We thank Thee He takes a saving interest for those for whom He bled and died. And we thank Thee, gracious God, You brought our brother to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And tonight we would say to God, be all the glory, great things He hath done. We thank Thee for saving His dear wife, for saving the family, and granting that greatest boon of blessing any parent could ever experience, household salvation. Grant that every family in this congregation shall know that mighty blessing, their children not only saved, but going on well with God. Should there be those amongst us tonight still strangers to grace, strangers to God, O God, grant them grace this very hour to be in time and to call on the Savior while He is near and while He may be found. Grant that we, Thy people, O God, in these days shall be redeeming the time, for the days are evil, time is short, hell is filling, and death is approaching, and there are teeming multitudes still trampling to hell. Give us grace in these days, like that dear man who led our brother to Christ, to be a personal witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us now to our homes, we pray in safety. Take us in Thy Spirit. May we who know the Lord go rejoicing for the day and hour God in His mercy plucked us as brands from the burning and made us new creatures in Jesus Christ. May we rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven, past, present, and future, and bless God for all that He is, for all that He has done, and bless God the best is yet to be. Hear this, our plea, accept our praise, and O God, answer our prayers, for we offer them in the dear Savior's name and for His sake. Amen.